begin the current daven itself. Sivam mustav tzadi zayin. Begin 11 lines down for top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah from the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah spoke about certain differentiations in halacha regarding a minor in the context of yibum. And that is, although there are certain halachas when a person is meyabim or his wife regarding yibum, but a minor, we said, which is from 9 years old in one day, then he's going to have a different type of halachas as the Mishnah delineated those halachas. Now, that the Mishnah concluded by saying that echad ben tashan and b'chulu, whether it's a 9-year-old boy that we're discussing, or even if he's as old as 20, but he never yet displayed the two sires b'isa makam, the two pubic hairs, which makes him an adult, we're still going to consider him as a minor, and therefore we'll have all those types of halachas that pertain specifically to a minor yavam. Now, the Gemara asks on this verminu, but there's a contradiction from a Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah says, ben esim shana shlehevi shtei sires, when there's a 20-year-old man that never displayed the two sires, which are the signs that make him a gadol. So the Mishnah there says, yaviu raya shehu ben esim, so they should bring a proof that that's his actual age, that he's 20 years old, but vahu as saris, and however he's someone that is not fully matured, so then he doesn't do chalitza and he doesn't do yibum. Now the reason is because obviously he's someone that cannot father a child, which is the purpose of doing yibum, which is lahakim lahakim shame. He cannot because obviously he's never fully maturing in a physical way. Now, but one thing we see, which is the Gemara's question, is obviously we consider him as like an adult, meaning not like a minor that we should wait and still anticipate that maybe he's going to bring the two sires and then he'll have matured and then therefore he could go ahead and do yibum. We say obviously if he's 20, no, obviously he's an adult and he's never going to be able to have children. Similarly, regarding the female version, bas esim shana shlehevi shtei sires, a 20-year-old woman that never yet brought two sires, which also makes her an adult. So yevi arayashi bas esim, you bring a proof that she's already 20, vihi ailness, and that she's an ailness, which is a woman that didn't physically mature and is not able to have children. And therefore there's no chalitza and no yibum. But the primary point that the Gemara is asking is that contradicts our Mishnah, which said that even if he's 20, he's still a minor as long as he doesn't bring two sires, bais makam, we consider him a katan. Well, now what that means is that, yes, so there's the different halachas that we said that pertain to the yibum of a katan, but it's that he's still a minor, but that we would wait to see that he's going to be an adult. But the Mishnah Masechtas Nida says that he is an adult, and therefore forget about it, he's not able to have children. So what is it? When you're 20, are you a katan or are you a gadol? So the Gemara says it's not a question, because in explanation of that Mishnah Masechtas Nida, Navahu, this that they consider him when he's 20 as an adult, is shenildu loy simon isris, that he displays the different symptoms of isris, which we explained in the Peyam Abayz what those symptoms are, which is obvious that the reason why he didn't bring Beisiris yet is because he's never going to, because he's a Sris. But as long as we don't see these symptoms of a Sris, then we say that the reason why he didn't bring the two Siris yet, even though he's 20, is because he didn't yet fully mature and he's considered cotton, and therefore we are still concerned, as our Mishnah says, that maybe he will still display these two Siris, and we wait to see that he maybe will mature, he will become a gadol, but now he's still like a cotton. So Amar Rabbi says, Dekanami, actually a precise reading of that Mishnah Masechtas Nida indicates this pshat. Because the Ketani, the Mishnah there says, V'hu asris. Shema Minah, obviously it's like we said, that yes, 20, you're still a minor like our Mishnah said. There you're like an adult because he's a sris, he displays the Simani sris, and that's why we say he's a gadol and he'll never have children, and then V'lech Haletzu V'lemes HaBemes. Now, so the Gemara asks, so like in our Mishnah, where he didn't display Simon Yisris, so ad kama, till how old? Well, he's going to be 70 and still like a minor? Because you're saying he doesn't have the Simon Yisris, so we say he's still a child, although he's 20. So up until what age do we say that? So Tanabir Abchia, it's ad Rav Shanaisav, until the majority of his lifespan, which it's called Shiv Mishana, so the majority would be at age 36. Up until that age, we say that maybe he will become a gadol, he's still a katan, he didn't fully mature yet. But when he reaches that age, then we say, okay, you're not a katan anymore, you're ready to gadol, even without displaying simon nisris. Now, in practice, the Gemara tells us that ki asu, when a 20-year-old man who didn't yet bring Beis Cyrus would come lekameid the Rav in front of the Rav to inspect him to see, is it that he's really still a katan? he just didn't display them yet? Or does he have the symptoms of a sris and therefore he's already an adult and he'll never mature? So, ikachosh, if the man was too slim, amalahu, he would tell them, zilav riyuhu, go fatten him up, give him to eat and to drink till he becomes fat. Vibari, and if he was robust, if he was healthy, he had a lot of fat, amalahu, he would tell them, zilu akhoshuhu, go ahead and slim him up. As he explains, the hani simanim, because these symptoms, the simanim of the Beis Cyrus, zimna de natri machas krishus, sometimes they fall out because a person's too thin. The zimna de natri machas berus, sometimes they fall out because a person's too fat. And therefore, he said that forget about checking yet why it didn't come. Maybe it's really there. It's just because of his body mass, either too much or too little, that it's not there. And therefore, he said, before we inspect, first get the proper weight, and then we'll be able to see if there's really Beis Cyrus or not. Hanulachish Rabbah, shall return to the 10th parak Masechet Yevamos, parak Yisharabah, and with that we begin the 11th parak of Masechet Yevamos, parak Nosin al Hanusa. Here the Mishnah moves on to a different halacha. The Mishnah tells us that Nosin al Hanusa of al Hamafuta, that after a person violated or seduced a woman, he's permitted to marry her daughter, her sister, her mother, although a woman that a person's married to, he's forbidden their relatives. Here, when he didn't marry her, he just cohabited with her, so then he's permitted to still marry her relatives. However, the other way around, ha'inus of hamafat, if someone violates or seduces a relative al-hanasua of the woman that he's married to, then chai, that he is liable for, because once he's married to a woman, her relatives are arayas to him, and therefore even out of wedlock, they're forbidden to him. So the Mishnah then says, in the context of anusa and mafuta, a person is allowed to marry, as we said before, regarding any person and regarding that it was violated. So that doesn't create relationships. So a person is allowed to marry, although he's not allowed to marry his father's wife, but he's allowed to marry the woman that his father violated or that his father seduced. And similarly, the other way around, anusis benoi, umafutis benoi, although a man's not allowed to marry his son's wife, but he's allowed to marry the woman that his son seduced or violated. However, Behuda, Eiser Banusas Avot Mufutis Avot. In the case of the father, Behuda says it is forbidden for a person to marry the woman that his father violated or seduced, which the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Now, regarding to the Reisha, the Gemara says, Tanin Lohadutan Rabbanan, the first halacha in our Mishnah supports that which we learned in the Braisa, that the Braisa says, Anas Isha, if a man violated a woman, Samuta Lisa Bita, he's permitted to marry her daughter. But, like the second halacha of the Mishnah, Nasi Isha, but if he married a woman, then Asa Lisa Bita, then he's forbidden to marry her daughter. And even more than that, we said, then he even forbidden to be Ma'anis or Mefata, the daughter. Now, the Gemara adds Reminu, but there seems to be a contradiction with the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hanitan, if someone is, there's a suspicion on a man, meaning that there's rumors going around, Mene Isha, regarding this man and this woman, that they had an inappropriate relationship. So asa be'imo ubebita b'chaisa. So the Braisa says that he's forbidden now to her mother, to her daughter, to her sister, to the relatives of this woman that people are saying that he had a relationship out of marriage. Now, that seems to be not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that a person is allowed to marry the relatives of the woman that he violated or seduced, that he had a relationship out of marriage. Yet here the Braisa says forbidden. So the Gemara answers midrabbanan. That Bryce is only a rabbinic halacha, and it's because of a gzeira, because we're concerned that if he does marry the relatives of this woman that he had this inappropriate relationship with, then if let's say it's the daughter of that woman, then he's going to be always with his wife, which is the daughter of that woman, and he's going to be at her house, and then he's going to be mezana with the first one, because we see that he already had a relationship with her beforehand. And therefore, that's the actual halacha of the second halacha of the Mishnah that you're going to run into where that's forbidden, which is that if someone's married to a woman, then he's not allowed to have a relationship of oynis or mafatu with her relatives. So therefore, although our Mishnah says that, yes, one is allowed to marry the relative of a woman that he was ma'anis or mafatu or had this type of relationship, but that's only biblically, but rabbinically, it would be forbidden because then when you marry that relative, then you might still go back to that previous woman, and that's going to be the second halacha that Mishnah could run into, which is forbidden to be ma'anis mafata al-nasua. Now the Gemara asks on this. When you have a rabbinic iser, to need noisin lekatchila, would our Mishnah say noisin ala nusa b'mafuta, which sounds like initially that you're allowed to go ahead and do that? So although biblically you're allowed to, but if there's a rabbinic decree like we just explained, how can you say noisin? According to rabbinic law, you're not allowed to. We would just say that you're allowed to. So I think my answer is kidnam masnitin. When did our Mishnah say that you're allowed to? Was talking about la'achar misa. Was talking about that after the woman that he had violated or seduced already died. So then there's no more reason for concern, which was a whole rabbinic decree, which is because then if you marry, let's say, her daughter, so then you're going to always be around her mother, which was the woman that he had he was mafata or ma'anis. That's the problem. But after she's dead, since there's no karevim halacha, it's not like a woman that you marry that you're forbidden to her daughter and her sister or mother. You were just ma'anis or mafata her. So then, after that she's dead, now there is no rabbinic concern, and therefore there's no biblical concern of relative either, and that's what our Mishnah said, that noisin ala nusav amafuta. Now the Gemara asks, menon emiliv, where do we know this halacha of our Mishnah, that although it seems from the Pesukim that a person that he's married to is forbidden to our relatives, that's only through marriage, but it's not a problem when he was just violated a woman or seduced her. So it's talking about like within the Braisa. Bekulon, regarding all the arayis that's in Parshas Kedoshim, which where it talks about his daughter-in-law that's forbidden, his aunt, an animal. So regarding all the arayis, nemar shchiva, it says the term of laying. But vekan, by a woman and her mother, and the other relatives that this man becomes forbidden to because he's married to this woman, nemar kicha, it says the term taking. Like it says in Meryuka Chof, it says ish kiyikach es isha ve'es ima, a woman and her mother. It says that you can't marry a woman and her sister. So why does it say the term taking? It's coming to tell you that the Torah made it forbidden only through the format of kicha, which is a term of kedushin, meaning that the first woman, though that now you're forbidden to our relatives, was through marriage, then you're going to be liable for the second one. And as Rashi explains, because you can't say it's a reference to the second one, which is the erva that is only forbidden through lekicha, because kedushin is not taifis in the erva, so it must be referring to the first woman, and that's the source that we see that it's only derech likuchin when you're married to a woman, but not in the case of oynis or mefata, then you're not forbidden in her relatives. Now, and that the Gemara asks, omner apabal abaye elmiatav, that's the reason why when sometimes it says shchiva and sometimes it says kicha, the kicha is only through marriage. Then gabei achayse dechsev, then by one's the erva of one's sister, which says in the pasuk miyikra, ish asher yikach es achayse bas aviv or yivas ima, a man that will take his sister, the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother, which talks about the erva of achayse, hachenami derkicha hu daaser. So what are you saying that here also the erva of the sister is only prohibited when it's through marriage, but derech shchiva shari, but one is allowed to lay with his sister, not through marriage. So Amalei, so he said to him, no, likuchen ksivi b'teristam. There are times in the Torah where it just says kicha. Now, on that the interpretation is haro lekicha kicha, where it's fit to interpret that kicha meaning marriage, and that is as Tais explains from the fact that it didn't say over there as in the other rice the term of shchiva, which is the more basic way of this saying an issa erva, which is laying, which is cohabitation. So that sounds like it's coming to expound the drasha to say that oh the issa was only derech likuchen. And that's how we exclude, as our Mishnah's halacha is, the case of Einsen. But haro l'shchiva, that which is fit for laying, in other words, where you cannot say that it's a reference of marriage. Like in Kikach es achaysai, where Taisa says that you can't make a mistake and interpret that the term kicha mit kicha has to be laying, because everybody knows that kedushin is not toifas in one's sister, so then the interpretation would be shchiva, and that is yes, although sometimes it says kicha this way, kicha that way, we only interpret it to mean regarding kedushin when the understanding would be that it would make more sense to say shchiva, and why did it say kicha? That, and it still makes sense to interpret it in the way of kicha, as we're saying for the halacha of our Mishnah, to exclude the case of einsen. But where it says kicha, but if it's obvious, it still means kicha, I mean that it still means shchiva, then an interpretation would mean shchiva. Now, the Gemara gives another source for the halacha of our Mishnah that the problem of Isha Bito, or a woman and her mother, or a woman and her sister, that one's forbidden, that's only through marriage, not through a case of Einus and Mefata. So Rav Ami says, Anas Isha Mutalisa Bitam Hach. It brings a different source of halacha that a man violates a woman that is permitted to marry her daughter from here. Where it says a pasuk in Vayikra, Ervas Bas Bintcho E Bas Bitcho Leisegal. It says that a person is forbidden to marry his son's daughter or his daughter's daughter. Now, the inference is, why does it pick him? Habas Bena Dida or Bas Bita Dida Gali. But if it's his wife's daughter's son, son's daughter, or daughter's daughter, then that would be permitted for him to marry. Now, Yeruchsev, it says a later pasuk, Ervas Isha Bita Leisegala, a man's not allowed to marry a woman and her daughter. Moreover, Ezbas Benav, Ezbas Bita Leisegach, and one's not allowed to marry even her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. So, okay, so how do we resolve this? One pasuk seems to indicate that her grandchild is permitted. And the other pasuk sounds like her grandchild is forbidden. So that he says, kan b'yinsin, that when it's her son's daughter from a different man, then it's permitted because that's not his wife. It was just a woman that he had a relationship with out of wedlock where he had violated her. That's where we say that her daughter's daughter or her son's daughter is going to be permitted for him to marry. Kan b'nisuin, here it's talking about by marriage, that even Bas Bina is going to be forbidden. And therefore we see the source for this halacha that when it's a Nusa or a Mefuta, that her relatives are not forbidden to him. And therefore Bas Bina or Bas Bita, in the case of Aynis, would be permitted to him. Now that the Gemara asks, Epechana, maybe say the exact opposite. Maybe say that Bas Bintcha, that's excluding Bas Bina, is actually talking about when they are married. And the other pasuk that says that Bas Bina is forbidden is, even though it's not from him, which we're talking about the case of Anusa, that's the case that actually, that then it would be forbidden. Now, Tais explains the reason why we would say that it's more forbidden by the case of Einzin is because a person that violated a woman is over on the Isra of what's called a Mala or Zima. He's bringing perversion into the world. But by Nisuin, where he didn't do anything wrong, maybe we would say that he would not be forbidden in her relatives, and therefore that's actually the pasuk that would say that it'd be permitted in her grandchild. So how do you know it's the way that you're interpreting that the case of Einzin, he's permitted in her grandchild, and Nisuin forbidden? So I think our answer is that, no, Arayis She'er Ksibhu. The context of Arayis use the term of She'er. Now, B'Nisuin Iker She'er, when there's a marriage, then there's, as other places the pasuk interprets the word She'er, actually reference to one's wife, that there's kinship. But Ba'intin, like a share, but when he just violated a woman, there's no real relationship over here, and therefore it makes sense to say that when the Arayis that was saying that forbidden is going to be in the context of marriage, then he's forbidden to all her relatives, her mother, her sister, her daughter, and as that pasuk that's being brought down, even her granddaughter, whereas in the context of Ainsin, he's going to be permitted in her relatives, like our Mishnah says, and like that pasuk says, to her Bas Bina or her Bas Bita. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah that we had a machlekes that Rabbi Yehuda Isa Banusis Avachulu. Although Tanakama said that a person is permitted in the woman that his father violated or seduced, Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden. So then the Gemara explains, Amrav Gidl Amarav. He says, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the wisdom, Rabbi Yehuda? Seems that, as we're saying, that there's no relationships that are created by an Oynes Mefata. So why would one be forbidden in that woman that his father violated or seduced? So the Gemara says the pasuk in Devar, Lo yikach ish es eshes aviv. A man's not allowed to take his father's wife. Then the pasuk says, Lo yigal kanaf aviv. He's not allowed to reveal the robe of his father. Now that Rabbi Yehuda interprets, kanaf shiro aviv lo yigal. The robe that his father revealed, meaning any woman that his father had a relationship with, that is already iser of arayis for this son. Now that the Gemara asks him, "Mamay diban nusik?" How do you know that that's referring even to the context of a woman that he violated? So it's because the chsiv me lovei dekra, because the pasuk before that says, "V'nosin ha'ish ha'shreichiv ima lavi hanara chamishim kesef," that the man who laid with this woman that he violated gives to the father of that girl 50 talents of silver. So since that pasuk is in the context of einis, so the next pasuk that's told by kanaf shara aviv must be told by also in the context of einis, that you see that there's an issa of erva even tanusis and mafutas of. But the Gemara says, Rabbanan, they would tell you, if actually the psukim are right near each other, then we would agree, as you said, that it would tell you from the smichs of psukim, and that it would be told about the context of oinus. But hashtu delay samech le, but now that it's not right next to it, because actually the iser erva of ishas aviv, which is the beginning of that pasuk, interrupts between lo yigala kanaf aviv and the pasuk of einus. So actually it's not going back on the pasuk before of einus. But rather, we need this pasuk of lo yigala kanaf aviv as Rav Anan had interpreted. The Amr Rav Anan Meshmul, he says, b'shemeres yavim shal ava kasam dab. Actually, the pasuk is talking about that when his father has a woman that's anticipating his yibam, meaning that when his father's brother died without any children, then there's this woman that's a shemeres yavam, then that's what the pasuk is saying, that that's forbidden, because of my knaf aviv, it means knaf harol aviv leigala. That it's, we're talking about a robe, meaning a woman that's fit, that's waiting, anticipating for his father, that's the issa of gila rais, but not regarding anusas av mafutas av. That, as the Tanakam and the Mishnah says, will be permitted. But rather, when there's a shemeres yavam, there is a prohibition on his son to go ahead and marry the shemeres yavam of his father. Now, and that would be the smichas hapsukim of the first half of the pasuk, which is talking about eishes aviv, where it's his father's wife. Here it's talking about almost his father's wife. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, but for tevigalei mishum deidasa, according to Tanakama, why do you need a separate iser to say that a son is forbidden in his father's shemeres yavam? It's his father's brother's wife, which is his aunt, which is anyways an erva. So the Gemara says, "Lav rabbi b'shnei lav." You're right. The Torah here in this context of lo yigala kanaf aviv is saying that when she's also shemeres yavam, not only is she going to be forbidden because of the dasai, because of his aunt, but additional lav, that of shemeres yavam shalav. The Gemara asks, oh, "You want to give him two lav, and you already have two lav." For tevigalei mishum yavam l'shok. You should. There's going to be anyways a negative prohibition for this son to marry shemeres yavam shalav, because there's the general issur for anyone to marry any yavama when it's not the yavam. So the Gemara says, lav olav b'shin ushlesh olav, and you're right. Still, we want to lo yigala kanaf av, because we want him to violate three negative prohibitions. It's his aunt, it's yavam l'shok, and this is his father shemeres yavam, which is from kanaf arol l'av, which is lo yigala kanaf av. Or Vibaisima, or the Gemara says regarding this last question, that no, there's only going to be two lav and not three. And the reason is because Toma la'achar misa, after his father dies, where there's no more prohibition of Yavam al-Ashok, because there's no more Yavam, she can marry whoever she wants, that's what the Pasuk is saying by Le'gal Knaf Aviv, that you'll have only two violations, that of the negative prohibition of his aunt, and also this of that it's a Knaf Harol Aviv, once she was already a Shemeres Yavam to his father, even after his father's dead, there will always be that violation of the legala kanaf av, because at one point she was his father's shemeres yavam. Now the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis with many different enigmatic statements, which are riddles that Rashi says people used to say, which Taisa says that actually these incidents never happen. It's not coming to tell us practical halacha, but rather it's to respond for the tzedukim who would try to catch Talmid Chachamim in type of halachic type of conundrums, and that's why they're coming to ask and to inform what would be the case conceptualization of these riddles. So, the reason why it's being brought over here is because the first one of them is relative to the halacha of our Mishnah, which we just spoke about. So the Gemara says, and these are all women that are saying this, Ach me'av, it's my brother from my father, means my paternal brother, V'loy me'im, but it's not my brother from my mother, V'hu bala de'im, and he's my mother's husband, meaning that my brother from my father, my paternal brother, married my mother, and therefore va'ano brata de intase, I'm the daughter of his wife, as Rashi explains. We have Yaakov that violated a woman and gave birth to a daughter. Then Reuven, who is the son of Yaakov, but from a different wife, went and married the woman that his father had been ma'anis, that violated. And now the daughter of Yaakov is telling this to him, where at the same time they're sharing brothers. They have the same father, which is Yaakov, not the same mother. And he's the husband of her mother because she was born from that union of Anusa, that Yaakov was Ma'anis. And now Reuben went and married her mother, so therefore she's the daughter of his wife. That Amr Muhammad says, Deloy Kerbi Yehuda de Masnitin, that this case would only be possible not like Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda says that it's forbidden for Reuven to go ahead and marry Anusis Aviv which is, that's the only way the case would be possible. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that that case in a halachic way wouldn't be possible according to Behuda. Gemara moves on to the next case. Achu, he's my brother, or Brihu, and he's my son, Achose Ana, that I am the sister of the high Dedrina Akasvoy, from this child that I'm carrying on my shoulder. How do you have such a case? Mishkachas lo bo'evik kichavim haba biti. You could have it by the case of a non-Jew, and the reason why we're picking idol worship is we don't want to attribute any of these types of negative behaviors to Jews, but it would be the same halacha, that a non-Jew that haba biti, that cohabits with his daughter. So that son is going to be her son, and it's also going to be her brother, because they share the same father. Next case. Again, all these are women saying, Shlomalach Bri, peace be unto you, my son. Bas Achosechana, I am the daughter of your sister. And the Gemara says, Meshkachas Laba'evik Kechav Ma'ba Basbiti. You have the case where a non-Jew cohabits with his daughter's daughter, with his granddaughter. And from that union, they have a son. So now she's telling her son, which comes out that the Bas Bitoy is this child's mother from this union, but she's also his sister's daughter, because the mother of this Bas Bitoy is the sister of her son from the father, because the father cohabited with his granddaughter, so that son's going to be his son, and also that granddaughter's mother is also his daughter, so that makes them, that although she's his mother, but she's also his niece, and that's because she's his sister's daughter. Next riddle the Gemara brings is Daloi, which the Gemara gives an introduction saying, for those workers that water the fields, the Dolu Davla, that draw water with their pail, for them I'm asking the following riddle, which is Lipo Bechu Seser Peser, that it fell now in front of you, this enigmatic riddle, which is very difficult to resolve. And that's as follows. To hide the drina, the woman saying, this child that I'm carrying, who bar, is my son, v'ano bras achua, and I'm the daughter of his brother. How do you have that? So Gemara says, Meshkachas labo evi kachav ma'abo abas benoi. You have it in the case of a non-Jew that cohabits with his son's daughter. So again, that's essentially the same thing as the previous case. Instead of being that, although it's her child, and instead of being the sister's daughter, here it's going to be the brother's daughter, which is the same, essentially the same type of case. Bia bia, you have a woman that's wailing and saying, Me'ach v'hu av, woe to me from my brother, that's my father, v'hu baal, who is my husband, v'hu barbal, and he's the son of my husband, v'hu baal de'em, and he's the husband of my mother, meaning that he gave birth to me from my mother, where Rashi says that's essentially the same thing as saying that he's my father. It's just saying more words to make it more cryptic. V'ano brate de'itze, and I'm the daughter of his wife, and although he's all these things to me, v'lo yov pita la'achu, but he's not giving food, he's not giving bread to the brothers that are yasmi, that are orphans, which are b'nei brate, which are the sons of his daughter. How do you have this case? So the Gemara says, Mishkachas, so you can have it by Ba'evi kachav ma'abal imay, a non-Jew that cohabits with his mother, v'hoyle b'men abas, and from that union he has a daughter, v'chazru ba'al lois abas, and then he cohabits with that daughter, then v'chazru zakin, then the grandfather, meaning the father of this man, goes u'ba'ala, and then he cohabits with that daughter, which was just begotten, v'hoyle b'men abanim, and then he has children from that daughter. Now, that's what this daughter is saying regarding her father as follows, saying that he's my brother from the same mother, because he cohabited with the mother having this daughter, so they share the same mother. Now, he's also her father, and also her husband, because then he went and cohabited with her. But he's also Ben Baila, the son of her husband, because his father, the Zokin, then went and was Baala, and had children from him. Now, then that father died, creating Yisaimim, and that's the explanation of where she's wailing by saying that there's brothers that are Yisaimim, that are b'nei brate, that are the sons of his daughter, because these are the sons of the zakin, that she gave birth to them, where that makes the son the brothers from the same father, which are also the sons of his daughter, because he also gave birth to this woman. And that's how you can have this case of that the Gemara is describing. Next rule the Gemara brings is Anova at Achai. Me and you are brothers. Anova avach Achai. Me and your father are brothers. Anova ve'imach Achai. And me and your mother are our brother, our siblings. How do you have that case? Meshkachas lo ba'ivik acham abal imi. You can have that by a non-Jew that cohabits with his mother. And then he gives birth to two daughters. And then he cohabits with one of those daughters. And then from that daughter he has a son. Now, the sister of his mother is calling and telling him this sentence that was just said. And she's telling him that as follows. She's saying that me and you are brothers because we share the same father. Me and your mother are brothers because we have the same father and mother. And me and your father are our brothers, our siblings, meaning this is a woman saying, because we share the same mother as those are the different concepts brought in that case. Next case the Gemara brings is Anova at, me and you are b'nei achi, are the children of siblings. Anova avich b'nei achi, me and your father are the brothers of siblings. And Anova imach b'nei achi, me and your mother are the brothers of siblings. So that the Gemara says, ha beterinam mishkachas. That you could even have, unlike the previous cases, even in a permitted way, in a halachically valid way. As the Gemara says, kigen Reuven sheish lo yishtei bonis. For example, if Reuven has two daughters, v'asa Shimon benosav chadim minayim, and then Shimon comes and marries one of them, v'asa bar Levi benosav chadim minayim, and then the son of Levi marries the other one. Now, v'komer le b'rei de Shimon, this is what the son of Shimon tells the bar b'rei de Levi to the grandson of Levi, where he's saying that me and you are the children of siblings, meaning we're both the sons of two sisters, which were the daughters of Reuben. Now, me and your father, who was the son of Levi, are both the children of two brothers. And me and your mother, who is the daughter of Reuben, are also the children of two siblings, again, going back to Reuben, Shimon, and Levi, and that's how you could have all the different cases that we had in that riddle. Now, I think we move on with the next Mishnah, talking about the halacha of Yibam in the context of Gaim regarding a woman that converts. So the Mishnah tells us, Hagiyerishin is Garu B'ner Ima, regarding a woman that converts with her sons with her. So the halacha is, Lo Yicholtzim L'Miyamin, they don't do chalitza, and they don't do Yibam. And even more than that, that would be an obvious halacha because they're not actually brothers min ha'av, which is the halacha from Yibum. But afil ha'irasa shal rishon shle b'gedusha v'leidasa b'gedusha, and that is, even if there's a slight thing that's off, not making them full-fledged Jews, that is, the first son, he was conceived when she was still non-Jewish, but she converted during the pregnancy, so he was born already in Jewish sanctity. And Vasheni Hirasa Vilaidasa Bagdusha, and the second one, his conception and his birth were all in sanctity because she already was Jewish, converted before she conceived him. Still, the halacha of the Mishnah is saying is that you need to have that the brothers are paternal brothers. And Gerim, since they're converting in at least on some level, because at least when the first one was conceived, the mother was still not Jewish, so paternally speaking, meaning from the seed of the father, that was from non-Jewish, that is going to say that they're not paternal brothers because, as the Gemara brings a pasuk in Yecheskel, v'zamna susim zramtam, that their seed is considered like the seed of animals. It doesn't create any paternal relationships, and therefore, for the context of Yibim, you need to have that they're paternally related, so therefore we don't view them, and now that they're converted and they're Jewish, again, but they're coming from a seed which doesn't have paternal relationships, so there's no halacha of Yibim Chalitza, which has to be paternal brothers. Mishnah says similarly, b'chein shifchash and shtachul b'nei imah, the same thing would apply to a maidservant that was freed together with her sons. Again, it's the same idea of a non-Jewish woman converting, which is the same similar process that happens with a slave woman that gets freed with her sons, and that is, again, they're not paternally related, just like by Akum, so too by Avada. So related to this, the Gemara brings Bnei Yudan, the sons of Yudan, which was Amsa, which was a maidservant, Ishtachar were freed. So Shar Lahu Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Lemintzev Neshe Dehadadi. So he permitted that each one of these sons that were freed, now they're Jews, to marry the wives of the brother of Eshes Achav. Now, as Rashi explains, it's not talking about the mitzvah of Yibum. Even if their brother had children from that wife, and the reason is because he holds there's no relationship to these brothers once they convert, once they're freed, which then is like a conversion process to becoming Jewish, because again, it's like the idea of cotton chanel dummy, it's like a brand new person, so that's not his brother. So when his brother dies, even though there's sons from that brother, he can go ahead and marry the wife. Now, not only Rabba, so Rabba said to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, but for Rav Sheshes also, Rav Sheshes it's forbidden. How can you say it's permitted? So Rav Acha told him, who also Vanosharina? He says forbidden, I say it's permitted. So Gemara explains the machlekes. Mina avalei mina aim. When they were only brothers from the same father, but not from the same mother, kula amalei pligi d'shari, everyone would agree that now when they converted, they're going to be permitted to marry each other's wives. Mina aim v'lei mina av, if they had the same mother and not the same father, kula amalei pligi d'asa, everyone would agree that it's going to be forbidden. And the reason is, because since there is maternal relationships by non-Jews, so people know that they're really brothers, and then they're going to see them marrying each other's wives, people might confuse it with even a regular Jew and think that you're allowed to marry your brother's wife, even not in the context of Yibam. Ki pligi, their whole machlekes was min avolim umina'im, when they have the same father and the same mother, and then they convert. Mandashar, the one that says permitted, is because basar abashadinan, is because we say that we base their relationships on their father, paternally related, because the opene palanya karlu. People call, when people ask, oh, who is that? They say, who is their father? That's how people relate them. Now, therefore, people are not going to assume also that they're maternal brothers. And therefore, they'll know that the reason why they're permitted to marry each other's wives is because there is no paternal relationship for a non-Jew who's then converting. Because generally, we assume by non-Jews that the women are mezana and that they're not necessarily from the same man, even though it looked like an intact home. And therefore, we know that there's no relationship, so we're not going to confuse it that even a regular Jew would be allowed to marry his brother's wife. Now, but Rav Sheshes, Karluhu Nami B'nei Polonis. But Rav Sheshes said that it's forbidden is because, although, yes, they have the same father, which that everyone agrees is permitted, but since they also have the same mother, people are going to say that they are definite brothers, because we know that they're related because they had the same mother. And then they might come to permit an Eshes Achiv, even by a Jewish person, in the same type of a context. And therefore he said, when they have the same father and the same mother, it's going to be forbidden. Not like Rav Acha, who says that if they have the same father and the same mother, since people only call them by their father's name, which they know that that's not a real relationship, therefore we allow Eshes Achiv, because we're not going to confuse that with a regular Jewish person that does have the same father and the same mother. Now the Gemara says, Ve'igadam, that those who give a different interpretation to this machlekes, that Rav Acha Bar Yaakov v'Filu B'Acham Na'im, that he argues even if they only have the same mother, that it's going to be permitted even in such a context. U'maytama, because ger shen nisgar k'kot shen eldam, because of a ger that's converting is like a brand new person, and therefore even if they were related, they were brothers, but that's not going to be confused with a regular Jew, because we know that when he converts, he's like a new person, so that's why he's allowed to marry his brother's wife. And therefore, he doesn't make this gezerah to make it aser and eshes achiv, even if they only have the same mother. Now, the Gemara asks on Rav Acha Bar Yaakov's opinion from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, "Hagiyerish and hisgari b'nei imo," a woman that converts and her sons convert with her, the family is becoming Jewish. Leicholtzim lemiyabin. So the brothers, when they married a woman and die without any children, then the brother doesn't do chalitza or yibum. My time. What's the reason? Lav mishum da'asiri, isn't it because it's forbidden, because it's his brother? And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that they don't pertain to Yibum, that is because you remain with the Isser of Eshes Ach. What do we mean lo yichotzim le'yam? What do we mean you can't do chalitza? Even if it said that you don't have to, but so why are you saying lo yichotzim le'yam? They could do. Obviously you cannot do. Why can't you? They're not brothers. Is that they are brothers. There is a halacha of Eshes Achiv, which, as we said from Rav Sheshes, which is a rabbinic issa, because we might confuse it with a regular Eshes Achiv from a Yisrael. Nothing more says loy. It's not difficult to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. What the Mishnah is saying is the ainu b'toyres chalitza b'yibum. That is that there's no mitzvah, there's no obligation of a chalitza of a yibum. And the reason is because, as we explained in the Mishnah, they're not paternal brothers, because they were non-Jewish, and then they convert either one. When you convert, you're like a new person. And when they were non-Jewish, they weren't paternally related, because non-Jews don't have paternal relationships. And v'shari la'alma, what the Mishnah is being mechadish, is that they're permitted to marry whoever they want to, but v'inu na'mishar, it's not true. It's just saying that they're allowed to marry other people. There's no isav yivam l'shuk, but the truth is that the brothers are allowed to marry their brothers' wives. Now, and that's the Gemara asked, but for ketoni afilu, but when the Mishnah said that halacha, then they said even, as the Gemara explains, because there was an even, that the Mishnah said that even if the first one was conceived shleib gedusha, but was born in sanctity, and the second one was conceived and born in sanctity, still there's loy miyam loy chaltzin. So the Gemara explains the question. If you say that when the Mishnah says loy miyabin, what it's coming to say is asiri, as we had asked in the question, that we had assumed that it's a right to Rav Sheshet, that's saying that it's forbidden for him to go ahead and be miyabim to marry. That's the reason would be, now, that as we said, because once there's no more mitzvah, yibim chalitza, because they're not really paternally related, so then there's actually an iser, because we said Eishes Achav is forbidden for the gerim, because we might come to confuse it with a regular Yisrael. So Heindig Tani Afila, that's what makes sense in the Mishnah when it says even. That is, what's even? The Avagav Derishon Harbrasa Shalei B'Kedusha V'Lei Dasa B'Kedusha, that even though the first brother, his mother only converted when she was pregnant with him, but the conception was not in the sanctity of a Jewish person. Fasheni Harbrasa V'Lei Dasa B'Kedusha, whereas the second brother, his conception and birth were in sanctity. So now the Gemara is interpreting this Afila a little bit different than how we said in the Mishnah. But what we would think is that the afila would be ukeshtei imayis tomu, that we would view it as if they're born from two different mothers, because the first one was from a non-Jewish woman conceived. The second one, although the same woman, was being conceived by a Jewish woman, and therefore we would think to say that maybe it would be like a nachris, and therefore if they want to, that you could go ahead and do yibum, meaning that there shouldn't be an iser, because we wouldn't come to confuse it with Yisrael, because it's like two different women. And it's only when it's from the same woman that the maternal related that then they're forbidden to marry the brother's wife. That would be the chiddush of the Mishnah to say that no, it's still aser because the Rav Sheshet's halacha of Eishes Achav. But Eli Yamid, but if you say, like the Gemara is trying to answer Rav Acha by Yaakov, that the Mishnah is only coming to say Sharu, that it's permitted for the woman, for the brother's wife, to marry someone else, what's called Le'alma, to marry into the Shok, but not that there's any iser for the brother to marry her. Then my afila. Then what's this even? Which sounds like that even though this woman is like really two different women regards to her two children, that still it's going to be permitted for this woman to marry someone else. Regarding the Isra of Yavam al-Ashok, we don't care if they're the children of the same mother or not, because the whole mitzvah of Yibim has nothing to do with the mother anyway. It's only the paternal relationship and not maternal. So therefore it's difficult, the interpretation you're trying to answer from Rachab Yaakov, because now how do you read the next part of the Mishnah of afila? That the Gemara answers no, that makes sense. Because what the Mishnah is saying is the Avagav, the Diuk is the other way. The inference is not that even though the birth was, the conception was different by both of them, to say that they're like two different women. No, the inference is the other way of the Afilo. That the Avagav, the Tavayula, Desma, Kedusha, that even though both of them had the same birth, not in regarding the discrepancy of the conception, but regarding that they're the same in birth, and therefore you would think Vasilach Lufa be Yisrael, that you might confuse it with a full-fledged Jew, and that if we let her go Lashuk without Chalitza, that you might come to allow a regular Yivam Lashuk also without Chalitza. That's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that no, Loi Miyamin and Beloi Chaltzin, and that Afilach Ishari, it's still permitted for her to marry someone else without Yibum Chalitza. And the reason is because people will know that Yibum is a paternal halacha, and since they were non-Jews who converted, they don't have a paternal relationship. Now, Rashi actually clarifies, actually regarding this afilo, the halacha would be that it actually that she is only permitted la'alma, but actually to him, Rav Acha would agree that there would be a isra of karis for Eishes Achav in this case, because since their birth both were b'kedusha, in this case of afilo, so then they are maternally related, which is dependent on the birth. Now, this that Rav Acha had responded before, that he said that actually it is permitted even for the brother, that was only going on the case of the Reisha, where not only was the Hayrasa Shalei B'Kedusha, but even both of their birth were Shalei B'Kedusha, where they have no relation whatsoever once they're Megayer, because they could cut in Chanel dummy, but it wasn't going on the case of the Seifa. Now, Ikudami, that those that say what we just said, actually in the reverse, that regarding the teretz we gave for Avach B'Yakov in interpreting our Mishnah, the Gemara says, Hachinam Mistabra. Actually, a precise reading of the Mishnah exactly sounds like Avach B'Yakov. That it means the Sharu. When it says Le'miyam Le'michaltzin, doesn't mean that it's forbidden, that you cannot take, but rather meaning that it's permitted that she could marry someone else and that you don't need to go to the brother. And that's because, Diktani Afila, because you see from the Mishnah itself that says even, as the Gemara explains the opposite of what it just said before. If you say that it's like Rabbi Achba Yaakov, that the Mishnah is saying that she's permitted, I mean, of course she's not forbidden to the brother, but that she's even permitted La'alma. So that's what it makes sense to say, even meaning the Avagav to Tavayu, like Dasa Mekdusha, even though that they both were born in sanctity, the Asa Lachluv Beso, that you would think that maybe we would confuse them as full-fledged Jews because they were born by the same mother when she was already Jewish. That's the Chiddush saying that no, even so it's permitted because everyone knows that Yibam has nothing to do with the mother anyway, and it's the paternal relationship, and that they were non-Jews regarding the paternal relationship, and therefore that's going to be permitted. We're not going to confuse it with a Jew. But if you say the Rav Sheshes interprets that is talking about the prohibition that actually Loicholtzim Lamiyam means that he's forbidden to go ahead and marry her, then Mayafila, then what's even to the contrary, that's the more simple case when we're talking about that their birth were B'Kedusha, that they're going to be Aser. So the Gemara says, as we said before, the Avagaf, the Chiddush, no, it's not difficult, Arav Sheshes. Because the Avagav, the Rishon, Hayrasa, Shalei B'Kedusha, what the Mishnah is saying is that even though the first one's conception was not B'Kedusha, but Leidasa B'Kedusha, and only his birth was B'Kedusha, and Vashene Hayrasa, but Leidasa B'Kedusha, and the second one, his conception and his birth was B'Kedusha, therefore maybe we would say, Dikeshtei Imohistami, there's like two different mothers, and therefore then they should be permitted, because then that's not confusing with a regular Yisrael that marrying Eshes Achiv, because here it doesn't look like his brother's wife, because it seems like actually like from two different mothers. That's still the Chiddush of the Mishnah saying that it's still going to be Aser, which again is the inverse of the previous version. So Gemara continues trying to prove regarding this Machlekes in interpreting our Mishnah between Rav Sheshes and Rav B'Yakov. So Gemara says, Tashma, come in here, Raya, from the following Braisa, which seems to indicate like Rav Sheshes' interpretation. Braisa says, Shnei Achim Tu'um Geir. If you have two brothers that are twins, that converted. And v'chei m'shachram, if the same thing applied in the context of twins that were freed as being slaves. Now, as Rashi points out, these brothers are most definitely paternal brothers too. Because as the Gemara says on the coming daf, that there's one drop of semen that splits into two that makes these fraternal twins. Yet in spite of that, the Braisa says, l'cholzim l'miyamin, they don't do chalitz or yibim to each other's wives. And v'ein chayovin m'shamei shesach, there's not going to be a liability in Isra of his brother's wife. And that's even if he had married her after he was already a full Jew that he converted. And the reason is because the Geish and his Karis could cut in Chanel dummy. And therefore they don't have any brotherhood, even maternal related. Now, however, the Braisa says, Haysa Rasan Shalei B'Kedusha, B'Leidasa M'Kedusha, but if their conception was, the mother was not Jewish yet, but their birth was B'Kedusha, then, as before, Loicholtzim L'miyamin, they don't do Chalitz or Yibim because Yibim comes from the paternal relationship, and they don't have the same father, as the Gemara later on will explain, that the children from a non-Jew is like semen from an animal, and therefore they don't have that paternal relationship. But, Aval Chayavim, but they would be liable Karis for the problem of Mishum Eshes Ach, if they would marry his brother's wife, meaning which has the maternal relationship, and the reason is since the mother was already Jewish when she gave birth to them, and that's how they're Jewish, it's like they have the same mother, which they're the Issa of Eshes Ach is not just if they have the same father, but even if they only have the same mother, then they would make him forbidden in marrying his brother's wife. Braisa continues, Haysa Harasin v'Leidasa M'Kedusha, if their conception and their birth, the mother was already a Gieris already years from before, so they were conceived already in Kedusha, Saharin Ki Yisrael L'Chol Devarim, then those children are like regular full-fledged Jews. Now, that the Gemara says, Ketani Mias, one thing that we see from that Braisa, in the Reisha, which is spoke about, that if their birth was Shalei B'Kedusha, it said, Ein Chayov Mishum Eshes Ach, that there's not going to be a liability for the Isser of Eshes Ach. When we said that when they were regular converts, when they converted both of these brothers together, we said there's no liability Eishes Ach. It's only when the Leda was Bekedusha that then we said that there's going to be a Chiv Eishes Ach. Now the inference is, the terminology that the Braisa uses is Chiyuv Aleka, that there's no liability for that Issa of Eishes Ach. I mean, it's not going to get a Chiv Karas, but we're continuing to talk about Tzadik Chesem and Alv, but Ha Isuri Ika, but it sounds like, but that there is at least an Isser, which at least would be a rabbinic Isser, which Rav Sheshes holds, because you're going to confuse it with a regular Yisrael. That's difficult according to Rav Acha, who says not just that there's no Chiv of Eishes Ach when they converted, it's even that there's no Isser he holds, because he holds Gersha Shinneskarka, according to Shanel Adami. So I think we reject the right. Who Adin Nafil Isser and Namelech? The truth is not even an Isser, but Va'aydi Deboy Lemisna Sefer, since the end of the Brisa had to be talking about when they were born Bekedusha, that avachayoven, that in that case that you would be chayiv karas for the isra eishes ach. So tanam reisha in chayiv. So the reisha also said that you're not chayiv. But the truth is, it's not just we just kept the uniformity of chayiv and achayiv. But the truth is, the case of the reisha, like Rav Acha, would be even that there's no isra because the case is karak a kunshin ol damin. Now, based on this brisa that the Gemara just brought down, the Gemara brings the following elucidation. Amar Rava, had the Amar Rabbanan in avla mitzvah. This is the rabbis say, that there's no paternity for an Egyptian. Meaning that even where you, as Rashi explains, even where you can't say that it's based on the concept of Kakon Shanel Adami, that the reason why he's Jewish is because he himself converted, so all his previous ties, no matter what they were, are severed, and that we don't see it as his mother, his brother, his father, all the things. No, even if only his conception was not in sanctity. But his mother converted when she was pregnant with him. So his birth, he was already born a Jew. Where he does have, he didn't sever all previous connections. He has the relatives maternally, like a regular Jew. It's just that he doesn't have the paternity of the father. So on that, Rava says, don't say that the reason why we don't consider the relationships of paternity, because we say that we don't know who the father really is, because Egyptians, the non-Jews, they're steeped in immorality, and therefore we don't know for sure that this is really his father, although the mother was married to him. But Ava Yediyah, but you would infer to say, but if let's say we know for a fact, for example, let's say the father and mother were locked up in jail, where it was impossible for any other man to cohabit with her, then we would be concerned, and therefore in such a case, if let's say the Hayrasa, the conception was Shalei Bekedusha, but the birth was Bekedusha, where you cannot say Katan Shanei L'dami, because it's not a new Geiris that he had. He was already born Jewish. Then maybe you would say that he would have even the paternity of the father, because there we know for sure it's from the father. And that Rava clarifies and says, no. Elafil the Yediyah Nami L'chashin, even where we know for a fact that this is the father, we're still not concerned for the paternity. And the reason is, as we just brought, in the case of the Brais we brought, when you have two brothers that are twins, where it was one drop of semen, meaning that we know it's from the same father, that's split into two, that's how you have them twins in the first place, and still, B'Katani Seif is still the Seif of the Brais, says, they don't do Chalitza or they don't do Yibim now, which Rashi points out, we had to learn that from the Seifa, because if we wanted to learn it from the Reisha, we could not have. Because in the case of the Reisha, there's not even relativity from the mother of maternally, because even their Leda was Shaloi Bekedusha. Now, so the reason is because what we're saying is, we would say that it's because Zerma Susimhu, that as the Gemara is saying, we wouldn't be able to learn what we're trying to learn over here. We would rather say it's because Kakan Chanel Dami, they were born non-Jewish, and only then they became Jewish. So therefore, we had to learn from the Seifa. But the Sefer, there is at least maternal relationships. They maintain what they previously had. So, and yet still we see that they're not considered paternally related, because that's, or else you'd be able to do Yibim and Chalitza. So what you can infer from there is it's Afkuri Afkur Achman Lazari, is that the Torah made the children, the Zera, the seed of a non-Jew, as if it was nothing, that there's no paternal relationship, even when we know it's from him. And even if this child is having his previous maternal relationships, he's not going to have the paternity of if his father's a non-Jew. So still, like it says, the Pasuk in Yecheskel, Besar Chamorim Besar, the flesh of donkeys are their flesh. The Zirmas, which literally means like the wave, meaning it's a reference to the seed which is shot like an arrow, and that's like when water shoots forward with power, that's Zirmas, Absusim is their masam. The seed of horses are their seed to say this idea that it's not based on because we don't know. It's even if we know, still it doesn't make a difference. We don't give paternity regarding to non-Jews, and therefore, even if he had Leidasa Begedusha, which he has his previous relationships, since the relationship that it, when his father had conceived him was a non-Jew, that seed is not related paternally to his father, as we see in that brisa. That's why Leichotzim Veloy Miyamin.